Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Advayunata
Havisha.
Yajamano Vishampate.
Diya Vishuddhaya Dadyao.
Tata
Pradurabha Durabhud Dadihi. Advayu Nata Havisha.
Yajamano Vishampate.
Diya Vishuddhaya Dadyao.
Tata Pradurabhud Dharihi.
Advayuna. With the Yajurveda.
Ata.
Taking.
Avisha,
with clarified butter.
Yajamanaha,
King Daksha.
Vishampate,
O Vidura.
Diya,
in meditation.
Vishuddhaya,
sanctified.
Dadyao,
offered.
Ta,
immediately.
Pradhu,
manifest.
Adbhut,
became.
Harihi,
Hari, the Lord. Translation, the great sage Maitreya said to Vidura, my dear Vidura, as soon as King Daksha offered the clarified butter with Yajurveda mantras in sanctified meditation, Lord Vishnu appeared there in his original form as Narayana. Pretty merciful, huh? And in the purport, this King Daksha is getting a lot of credit. Lord Vishnu is all-pervading. Any devotee who, in sanctified meditation, follows the regular principles, chants the required mantras in service, and in devotional mood, can see Lord Vishnu. It is said in the Brahma Samhita that a devotee whose eyes are anointed with the ointment of love of Godhead can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead always within his heart. Lord Shyamasundara is so kind to his devotee. You can read a little bit further. Text 19. Lord Narayana was seated on the shoulder of Stotra or Garuda, who had big wings. As soon as the Lord appeared, all directions were illuminated, diminishing the luster of Brahma and the others present. Purported description of Narayana is given in the following two slokas. The first of those two slokas. Text 20. His complexion was blackish, his garment yellow like gold, and his helmet as dazzling as the sun. His hair was bluish, the color of black bees, and his face was decorated with earrings. His eight hands held a conch shell, wheel, club, lotus flower, arrow, bow, shield, and sword. And they were decorated with golden ornaments such as bangles and bracelets. His whole body resembled a blossoming tree, beautifully decorated with various kinds of flowers. Purport. The face of Lord Vishnu was described in this verse. Appears like a lotus flower with bees humming over it. All the ornaments on the body of Lord Vishnu resemble molten gold of a reddish gold color of the morning sunrise. The Lord appears just as the morning sun rises to protect the whole universal creation. His arms display different weapons, and his eight hands are compared to the eight petals of a lotus flower. All the weapons mentioned are for the protection of his devotees. Generally, in the four hands of Vishnu, there are wheel, club, conch, and lotus flower. These four symbols are seen in the four hands of Vishnu in different arrangements. The club and the wheel are the Lord's symbols of punishment for the demons and miscreants, and the lotus flower and conch shell are used to bless the devotees. There are always two classes of men, the devotees and the demons. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Puritanaya Sadhunam. The Lord is always ready for the protection of the devotees and annihilation of the demons. There are demons and devotees in this material world, but in the spiritual world, there is no such distinction. In other words, Lord Vishnu is the protector of both the material and spiritual worlds. In the material world, almost everyone is of the demoniac nature, but there are also devotees who appear to be in the material world, although they are always situated in the spiritual world. The devotee's position is always transcendental, and he is always protected by Lord Vishnu. And the other verse describing his form, text 21, Lord Vishnu looked extraordinarily beautiful because the goddess of fortune and garland were situated on his chest. His face was beautifully decorated with a smiling attitude which can captivate the entire world, especially the devotees. Fans of white hair appeared on both sides of the Lord like white swans, and the white canopy overhead looked like the moon. Purport. The smiling face of Lord Vishnu is pleasing to the whole world. Not only devotees, but even non-devotees are attracted by such a smile. This very nicely describes how the sun, moon, eight-petaled lotus flower, and humming black bees were represented by the fans of hair, the overhead canopy, the moving earrings on both sides of his face, and his blackish hair, altogether accompanied by the conch shell, wheel, club, lotus flower, bow, arrows, shield, and sword in his hands. These presented a grand and beautiful audience for Lord Vishnu, which captivated all the demigods there, including Daksha and Lord Brahma. So don't ask me the question that I don't have the answer to.
What?
Wait a minute, he just got through offending Lord Shiva and got his head cut off, and so he said, I'm sorry, but what is his qualification for seeing Lord Vishnu appearing Lord Vishnu is very merciful. Any devotee who, in sanctified meditation, following the regular principles, chants the required mantras in service and in a devotional mood, can see Lord Vishnu. I guess he's any devotee. Somehow he's become a devotee. The paintings of this scene are very beautiful. And Lord Shiva has already purified by his presence and the shift of attitude of Daksha. The reactions are forgiven or gone by by the grace of Lord Shiva. And so here he is, coming before Lord Vishnu or Lord Narayan. Bhoktaram yagyatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam yatvamam shantim rajshati. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes that the position of himself, or Lord Vishnu, is he's the bhokta of all yajñas. So that means, even in the Karmakanda rituals, like there was some question in the course of these discussions, all these rituals that are propitiating demigods and intended for increasing one's material prosperity, involving one more in fruitive activity. The elevating feature of them is that ultimately there's acceptance of the personality, at least acknowledgement in the beginning, of the personality of Godhead as the bhokta. The bhokta means the enjoyer, the ultimate beneficiary. We benefit when we make sacrifices to the ultimate beneficiary. We become beneficiaries, subsidiary beneficiaries, because of that connection with the personality of Godhead. So whether he shows himself or not, that's his position. We don't involve ourselves so much. To some degree, when there's some official ceremonial function, there's fire yajna and all of these procedures. The offering of oblations, the chanting of mantras, and so forth. The fire is said to be the tongue of Lord Vishnu, and when offering grains and ghee into the fire, the Lord is accepting those offerings in the form of fire. And the invoking of the presence of the Lord, described here, is through the agency of mantra. The Lord is super soul, is present everywhere anyway. So somebody might ask, why do you need all this procedure? He's everywhere anyway. And the procedure is just part of the formal acknowledgement of he's everywhere anyway, and making offerings to him. Although he's everywhere anyway, or everywhere anyway, he doesn't need any offerings. It's our position of devotion to make those offerings. The sentence in the purport where Prabhupada says, any devotee who does things in this way, the Lord will be seen. We don't commonly hear the Lord being seen, because there are circumstances. It's in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sargaloka, Maharloka. In Maharloka, this is a plane of material creation that's above the heavenly realm, is Maharloka. Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka, those four levels above heaven. Maharloka is a place, because heaven is a place where persons have, they go because they have a strong desire to enjoy. And so heavenly opulence is provided. And they have, they're pious, they have a mood of appreciation of Vishnu. But above that, where that sense pleasure has become not just diminished, but practically gone, greatly removed. The position of Maharloka described is where perfectly sense-controlled householders reside, and in that realm they engage in yajñas. They engage in long yajñas, because when they perform the oblations into the fire, Lord Vishnu appears with his hands extended and receives them. So they like seeing the Supreme Lord very much, and they like placing things in his hand to make offerings, and so they have long yajñas, and when the yajña is over, he recedes back into the fire, and they hurry up and get ready and perform another yajña. Like a whole series of yajña after yajña after yajña. And the realm where Daksha is performing this, the demigods have come by Daksha's invitation, in part because he's the direct son of Lord Brahma, and he's very exalted, but he's not in the position of a demigod. He's propitiating the demigods, and yet they came. So he's an elevated personality, although as an elevated personality, he also becomes subject to pride and envy. Anyway, it is a little mysterious, I must say. It's a little mysterious, more than a little mysterious. What qualification Daksha has? Very elevated, but envious and prideful. But curbed. And in any case, Lord Vishnu appeared. Same thing happens later when he, after he lives this life out and he dies. It's described in the sixth canto. He comes a second time, or I say Daksha part two, as the son of the Prachetas, who are described at the end of this fourth canto. They're mentioned again in the sixth canto. The sons, the Prachetas, sons of King Prajinibari, become perfected souls, and skipping some details, they're awarded a wife by Soma, and a very qualified wife, Pramlocha. It becomes their wife, very unique, just like the Pandavas, five brothers had one wife. This is the Prachetas, a number of them have one wife, and a child is produced, and that's Daksha part two. And he goes through, you know, some things, and he decides to perform a particular austerity and chanting, reciting the Hamsaguya prayers, and Lord Vishnu appears. Lord Vishnu is very merciful. But Lord Vishnu also appears, let's say, or Krishna personally took care of the pride of Indra. The circumstances where Lord, where Indra was, had killed his Purohit, his spiritual, his priest, Brahmana, And Lord Vishnu reprimanded him, but also gave him a means of getting relief from that reaction. So compared to those things, we're not so bad. Those are really bad things. But I was thinking just this morning, as that prayer that we recite when we circumambulate Tulsi Devi, Yani Kani Chapapani Brahmahatyana Kani Cha, what it means is, it's just circumambulating Tulsi Devi is so powerful, it's sufficient to relieve one from the action of killing a brahmana. Brahmahatya. Killing a brahmana. Yani kani chapapani. Doesn't mean go kill brahmanas and circumambulate Tulsi and voila, you're everything great again. Sinning on the strength of Tulsi's mercy is not okay. But sometimes those things happen. Sometimes accidental things happen. Circumstantial things. And one can be relieved. So, Lord Shiva is very, very powerful. That's apparently what happened. At least reaction-wise, he became relieved. And Lord Vishnu came. It's described here, this feature had eight arms, so that the same items held in the hands of Lord Vishnu, plus four more. Both of them are weapons, bows and arrows, sword and shield. It was pretty much on the destroy the demon side, the two benedicting the conch and the lotus. And his features, poetically, it's like a flower with bumblebees and different decorations. The golden ornaments on his body were of the complexion of molten gold, like a rising sun. This beautiful color and effulgent form. Even the demigods that were present, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, were awed to be in his presence. Standing, not sitting, standing on the shoulders of Garuda. Here he's also called Stotra. Stotra means prayers because it's described as Garuda, what has his wings are flapping. The sound made by his wings flapping are Vedic hymns. His dhoti, his hair, his complexion, all these things are nicely described. Just very, very beautiful. Face decorated with earrings. His whole body resembled a blossoming tree, beautifully decorated with various kinds of flowers. He looked extraordinarily beautiful, the goddess of fortune and a garland situated on his chest. One part of this description is not at all clear. At least in the word for word. Where is it? Fans of white hair appeared on both sides of the Lord, like white swans. Now, I don't know if that means... it's a Chamara fan. Vyajana Chamara, white yak-tail hair for fanning. So it wasn't his own hair, because his hair is bluish color. So apparently someone else is there on Garuda's shoulders fanning him with yak-tail fans. Okay, that makes sense. Which looked like white swans and a white canopy over his head. Looked like the moon. Swans, moon. Very picturesque. A smile charming the whole world, even the non-devotees. Altogether, the appearance of the Lord presented a grand and beautiful audience for Lord Vishnu, which captivated the demigods. Now here he's saying, including Daksha and Lord Ma. Daksha is, his position is not a demigod, but is a Prajapati. He's amongst the Prajapatis, and there it's a very special position. It's the surface of the Prajapatis is in assistance of the Creator, Lord Brahma, there to put population on the place that he created, and good population, praja, that they're empowered specifically to do that, and they're supposed to be very qualified. It's still a mystery. Qualified and disqualified. Anyway. And then the Lord appears. Any discussion?
This thanks, Maharaj. I find it mysterious that Daksha, part two, is he the son of all five of, I mean, not all five, but all of his, husbands of his mother?
Doesn't give any explanation. Yes?
I have two questions and one comment. The first question is that all these verses is like a lot of understandings. Out of that, one of my understanding of this verse is like since King Daksha has committed mistake and got punished by Lord Shiva, and he realized after that and he got the mercy of Lord Shiva.
Yep.
And through his mercy, since he made happy or got the mercy from Lord Shiva, who is a great Vaishnava.
Yep.
So because of that reason, like Lord Vishnu had appeared himself, one of the understanding, to please him.
I don't know. The performer of the sacrifice is Daksha, not Lord Shiva. It's not for the pleasure of Lord Shiva he appeared. That's not indicated. It's just he appears. There's going to be a conversation between Lord Vishnu and Daksha. So, not exactly what you said. Yeah.
He took with the 10 holy offenses, 10 in Latin.
Could you say it again? What's the question?
There's 10 holy offenses, and it's 10 in Latin. Can you go
over them too? 10, 11. The offenses against chanting the holy name. You want to know that?
Yeah, 10 in Latin.
There's 10, and at the end, Prabhupada adds, and it is also an offense. So there's 10, and it is also an offense to be inattentive. You want the list of them? You want me to recite them? Is that what you're looking for?
No, I just want to know what that meant. 10. What's that meant?
There's 10. There's a list of 10.
What's inattentive?
Inattentive. You want to know what is inattentive?
Yeah.
Well, you know what attention is.
Uh-huh.
Let's say I'm having a conversation with you. That's offensive. But, you know, so attentive is pay attention. So when we're chanting, If our mind is in a zillion other places, that's it. That's not attentive. That's inattentive. So to avoid that offense, we should, the mind has a tendency to wander, so we must try to bring the mind back, and bring the mind back, and bring the mind back, and continue as long as the mind keeps wandering, bring the mind back. Try to do like that, to be attentive, and to avoid inattention. Does that address your question? Okay. Something else? Yes.
The second question is, you explained about that Madhuraloka, Jnanaloka.
I explained about the what?
Madhuraloka.
Maharaloka, okay.
So I just, could you please explain about the other, like four Jnanaloka?
In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there's another three. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it doesn't say much at all about Jnanaloka. It does speak about Tapaloka. The only thing it says about Jnanaloka is that when there's a partial devastation, which means at the end of each day of Brahma, during the night of Brahma, there's a partial devastation. And the partial devastation is preceded by hundreds of years of drought, so everything is parched dry, and then Anantashesh at the bottom of the universe produces some fire from his mouths, so everything just ignites in fire. So up to Svargaloka, and it gets so hot in the planets that aren't engulfed in flames. Maharloka and Jnanaloka residents go to Tapaloka for a while. They get in their vimanas and go, they're given accommodation in Tapaloka. And when that fire of devastation subsides, then they go back to their places. But it doesn't give a description of what Jnanaloka, what transpires there much. In Tapaloka, no grihastha is allowed. It's brahmacharis and sannyasis. It's celibate perfected souls or very elevated souls, and there they engage in meditation and like long meditation, because they see the form of the Lord during their meditation, and then they have some philosophical discussions. They take a little prasadam and they go back and meditate. Residents that are mentioned there are the Navayogendras, and visiting when Gopal Kumar goes there are the four Kumaras. But then when he goes to Vaikunthi, he sees the four Kumaras and he said, wait a minute, didn't I see you? Actually, we belong here, we were just paying a visit. So, and then Brahmaloka, the residents of Lord Brahma. There's a whole chapter on in Brihad, a long section, not a whole chapter, in Gopal Kumar's visit to Brahmaloka. And one of the main features that's presented in Brihad Bhagavatamrita is Lord Brahma's in big anxiety that he's going to have to die. Although he lives as long as the universe exists, his life is also limited. That seems to be the emphasis. So he's concerned. There's the sense of temporality, in other words. And extremely fabulously opulent. Opulent, as the heavenly realm is hundreds of times more opulent than the most opulent situations on earth. In comparison, Lord Brahmaloka is incredibly more opulent. We don't know exactly what that means, but incredibly more opulent.
Two words before, it says that King Daksha doesn't know, like when he was taking pardon from Lakshmana, he was telling, I do not know your full glories, so please, So I was thinking, both are brothers, right? So they are both from Brahma.
Yes.
And he is called Pashupati, Lakshmana. So before giving his daughter marriage to him, he should know more about him, like all his.
Don't try to understand these things by your reasoning capacity. He should, but so the simple answer is, because of desire, that understanding becomes covered or taken away. He should, reasonably, but he doesn't. There's a reason. Something else? Okay, Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada, Shri Jaya.